Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 through 13 for this morning. We begin our reading at verse 9. Moreover, we were having fathers of our flesh, or according to the flesh, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be in subjection or submission to the Father of spirits and live? For on the one hand, they disciplined us for a few days according to that which was seeming good to them. But on the other hand, he, that is making reference to God, he for our benefit, in order that we might become partakers of his holiness. But on the one hand, all discipline does not seem to be of joy, this discipline that is for the present, but rather grief. But on the other hand, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are being exercised through it. Wherefore, on the basis of which, this is a text, a couple of verses or a verse that you've probably heard many times, very important. On account of which, lift up or raise up the hands which have become weary, and the knees which have become paralyzed, and make straight paths for your feet, in order that the lame may not be turned out, which is a word for dislocation, but rather to be healed. Very important text to Hebrews. When we started chapter 12, we were mentioning to you that the writer of Hebrews is now saying that because of having such a background of witnesses who had testimony of living by faith, who had followed the Lord prior to us, that having these cloud of witnesses, after having put off every weight, all the baggage of life, so to speak, and while looking off unto Jesus, that we should run the race that is continually being placed in front of us through endurance. So the first thing is the race in verse 1. We are involved in the agony of life, and we are running. And we are participating in that race just like an athlete participates in a cross-country event. It is through endurance, through a remaining under, that we build up the faith, and through that build up the endurance, as James tells us. It's kind of a hand-in-hand thing. Faith builds endurance, endurance builds faith. So we have the race in verse 1. In verses 2 and 3, we had the resistance. We have not yet resisted to the pouring out of our blood in our struggle, our agony with sin. We are to look to Jesus, who went before us and he endured the cross. He shed his blood, he suffered at the hands of sinners, and left for us that example, that if we start feeling bad for ourselves and what hardships we have to go through, we are to look to the Lord. Now, it's interesting, and this goes along with all Christian counseling, is that our big problem is that we need to go and tell someone that, about how we are so focused on ourselves. That's basically what it's all about. Whether it's marriage problems, whether it's problems with life, problems with people, it's just me. I don't like the way he rolls up the toothpaste. You know? I don't like the way these people do things. I don't like the way this church does things. I want to find a church that's going to do for me, that's going to make me happy and satisfy what I want and what satisfies me. It's all about me. The Bible says the problem is that we are running the race and we are so focused on ourselves as to how we're running and the people in the stands and, you know. And then we have to go for counseling. And all a counselor does is get a person's focus back on Christ. Because, as we learned in Matthew chapter 7, that we only have the capacity to be occupied with one thing. God made us that way. So whatever we're occupied with that has to do with ourselves, the answer is, surrender it to the Lord, forget about it, move on, leave it up to Him, whatever you want to say, and you just focus on the Lord. It is interesting how just with the work of the Lord, a person can be so occupied by taking so much time with the work of the Lord, you forget about yourself. Got to get things done. Got to go here. Got to go there. Got to do this. It's not till you get home at night and you sit down and you start thinking about yourself. It's like, boy, that was a busy day, and wow, that was pretty difficult. And then you start realizing, wow, what did I have to go through? You didn't think about it all day, but when you stop and think about yourself, that's when you get into trouble. That's why it's called running the race. Because the slower you go, the more Satan can catch up with you. When you stop running, he can encircle you. Keep running. Keep looking off unto Jesus and sprint to heaven. You know, that's not a plug for the company. But basically, sprint to the finish line. You won't have time to worry about all the problems and things in life. Besides, all of the problems in life we leave behind anyway. If we were to die today, we leave them all behind. Satan tries to get us burdened down with that. So we have the race, and then we had the resistance. And then last week, the remembrance. Verses 5 through 8, the remembrance. He says, did you forget what was said in Proverbs chapter 3? That whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. So you should have known ahead of time that when you become a child of God, He becomes your Father and He is your disciplinarian. What the book of Hebrews is presenting is that every single thing, every difficulty and every hardship that we have to go through is the discipline of the Lord, period. Cannot be looked at in any other light if you're looking at it through the Word of God. Oh, but it's difficult. That's discipline. Oh, why are these things happening to me? Because we're sinners and we need corrected. Maybe we have too much energy and too much strength or too much time to get into trouble. So He takes that energy away and He takes that time away so we don't get into trouble. Everything is from the Lord. Every single thing. That's another thing we're going to be seeing as we go through the book of Acts. Is that even Paul said, Satan has hindered me from coming to you. But he presented it as, the Lord's allowed him to stop me, so that's God's way of saying He doesn't want me to go. Everything is of the Lord. Every tool is at His disposal to carry out His will. If God wants Satan to stop us, because God doesn't want us to go somewhere, He'll let him. So everything is from the Lord. Everything. Because He's God, and because He's in charge, and because we are sinners, in spite of the fact that we're sinners saved by grace, we're still sinners. For some reason, I held, and I see this in other believers too, for the first few years of my walk with the Lord, I held this view, or had this mind frame, that I was a sinner before I came to know Christ, And when I received Christ, I received my forgiveness for all of my sins, past, present, and future. Therefore, I function now as somebody who's been forgiven for his sins. So I don't have sins. Stop and think about it. Why are we so surprised when God deals with us harshly in the physical realm? We've been forgiven for our sins, so what's the problem? We still have the sin nature. Sin still rules and reigns in our flesh. So God has to have disciplinary means to shape us and mold us. So he says, you've forgotten. He goes on to say, in verses 5 through 8, that if you are without discipline, you are not a son. You have an illegitimate claim to be a Christian, because everybody who has received Christ and belongs to Christ is being disciplined constantly. So if I were to stand up before you today and say, I don't know what your problem is, people. You just haven't learned to practice the principles of the Scriptures, because if you were, you'd be problem-free like me. Flesh feels good. Money in the bank. What's your problem? The writer of Hebrews says, if you're not in a constant state of being disciplined by the Lord, then you have an illegitimate claim. Instead of stories, sharing stories, and we call them testimonies, I call them stories. Instead of sharing stories of how good life is in the flesh in the name of Jesus, in reality, the reality is sharing with one another how the Lord is correcting me this week. How He's disciplining me this week. Because I'm constantly under His discipline. Because I'm His child. So if a person is not being disciplined, they don't belong to Him. Verses 9 and 10 for this morning is respect. 9 and 10 is respect. We were having fathers in the flesh who disciplined us, and we respected them. For over 30 years, I had a problem with that verse. Because everyone associates their relationship to the Heavenly Father with their earthly father, for some reason. If you're like me, you can't agree with that verse. I did not have a father that disciplined me according to what seemed good to him. He's a very violent man, a very evil man. He only did the expression of his evil and harm on people. That's all he did. So when people tried to associate my relationship with my Heavenly Father as the same with my earthly father, there's a problem. And there's a problem that we have in family relationships, because, and this is why Satan does what he does. When you're a young person and there's any kind of abuse that happens to you, it's Satan's way of implanting within your mind and in your heart those remembrances and those experiences so that you cannot have a good, healthy relationship with God the Father. That's why we as parents, it is so important for us to raise our children not with the approach of, I'm in charge, so do what I say. But rather with the approach of, I am here to teach you to go by God's word, because you are to obey my word, because when you get out, you are to obey God's word. You've got to learn that principle, or else life just won't happen. Mm-mm. And yet, the presentation here is basically on the foundation of the Jewish family, written to the Hebrews, about Jewish social life. Not Gentile, but Jewish. That helps. Now I can accept that scripture. Because the parents, the Jewish parents, were commissioned by God to raise their children and teach them the law and raise them according to the law. Put them in school. Teach them Hebrew at their bar mitzvah and bat mitzvahs. They are to memorize the first five books of the Tanakh, the Old Testament in Hebrew, memorize the Hebrew, be able to recite it. They're busy with the law. And the parents are there to represent the law and say, here's what God's law says. The book of Proverbs is very interesting because it's a father giving wisdom to his son and also saying, listen to the Torah of your mother, because in a Jewish society, the mothers taught the law to the children up to age 13. And at the bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, the child becomes a son of the law, and therefore the man takes over. So the educational part of it was in the first 13 years, and then after that it was, okay, let's go out in life and here's how you do it. Here's how you live according to the law. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, moreover, we were having fathers that were of the flesh, fleshly fathers, who were disciplining us and we respected them. So he goes on to say in verse 10 or verse 9, shall we not much more be submitted to the Father of spirits and live? In one of my conversations with my son, he has finally come at the first phase, which gives hope and light to the end of the tunnel. He basically said, I see now that you and Mom raised us as best you could. I mean, you're not born equipped to be a parent. You have to learn. And the frustrating thing is that it's after your children are raised and gone that you go, oh, I see all my mistakes, what I should not have done, and I see all the things that I should have done, and I see all the things that I did do, and you see all these things, okay, now I'm ready to raise children. And they're gone. It's like, oops. So it's a growing development phase for the parents as well, because you're not born with the know-how to be a parent. You just have to wing it. You pray and you study the Word and you seek the Lord and you try to do the best you can. And sometimes it doesn't come out too good. But if we can understand the necessity of submission to parents when you're children, and we can respect that, shall we not much more be submitted to the Father of spirits and will live? Now, my earthly father, I couldn't trust him with anything. But God, my Father, I know that every single thing that he brings my way by way of discipline, I'm going to live. You know? And even if I die, I'm going to live. God's not going to kill me. He's just going to hurt a little while. And when he puts me in the situation when I'm called home, then I'm still going to live. The win-win situation. So submitting to God is not a problem if we understand the whole social structure as God designed it to be, and we see our roles as parents, representing the Lord, teaching our young people to hear the Word, and then when they leave and rebel, that's what they come back to. That's God's promise. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. So there has to be a phase when they... How old is old? Well, I always pride myself as an example of the word elder. Elderly? No. Who knows when that is? What everybody has to go through to arrive back at the foundation that was laid in their lives. But they have to be let go and say, go ahead. You think you can do it and not do it God's way? Go ahead and try it. Then they get all messed up. But he goes on to say, in verse 10, he says, for a little while our fathers disciplined us as what seemed good to them. But God, for our benefit in order that we might be partakers of His holiness. The word holiness comes from hagiadzo. It doesn't mean holiness in the sense of purity, but holiness in the sense of separation. In order that we might become partakers of His holiness, of the separation He has brought to separate us from sin and sinners and the world. Then the result in verse 11. All discipline does not seem to be of joy that is being administered at the present, but grief. That's the truth. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't use positive thinking. When God disciplines, it's not pleasant. Plain and simple. But afterwards, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness, catch this, to the ones who have been exercised through it. Perfect participle. The word for translated exercise is gymnazo, where we get our word gymnasium from. Through discipline, we are being exercised. We're being disciplined. And the end result, not the discipline itself, but the end result is peace. It bears fruit, and we're at peace with God. It bears the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now verses 12 and 13, which happens to be the revival. The revival. How many times I've heard this on TV, tapes, tent meetings, for people to come forward and get prayed for so that they might be healed. Notice in context what it's saying. Wherefore? That is, on account of which, all of this that I've just presented you, running the race, facing resistance, calling to remembrance what God has said, showing respect for God's order and for God's parenting Himself, the results of that. Now the revival, and it comes by the way of two commands. On account of which, straighten up the hands which have become weary and the feet which have become paralyzed. How do you like that? Like I say, I've heard that quoted so many times by, quote, faith healers. This has to do with the person that is so weary and beaten down from discipline, the agony of life. And I know we all go through it. Sometimes we go through it just because of work. We come home, we just go, oh, I am beat. Hands hang down. Legs don't move anymore. Hey, can you get up off the couch and take the trash out? I'm sorry, they're paralyzed. They're out of commission. In case you haven't noticed, life has a way of taking its toll on us. And God's discipline will take us all the way to the end of just being totally physically spent of all of our energy. And He says, revive, straighten up the hands which have been hanging down and the knees that are out of or have been paralyzed. He says, and make straight paths for your feet. Look off onto Jesus. I find that most of the time I become weary. Catch this now, if you can see the picture. Instead of going the straight line with Jesus, and the quickest point between point A and B, I learned this from Bill's math class. The quickest point between point A and point B is a straight line. It's the quickest way. Do I get an A in the class? Yep, so far. Right. Okay. But I find in my life, because this is the way life is designed, as Satan is also in the mixture, is that it would just be simpler and easier just to go from point A to point B. But as you realize, there's so much stuff between point A and point B. You know, we're going this way, and we're going that way, and we're going around the block, and we're coming through, and we're stopping off. I mean, you know, I find that I'm just weary just from not going from point A to point B. Satan's got so much out there to entice me, draw me into circumstances and situations that don't need to do that. Life's hard enough as it is. But this weariness, he says the answer is make straight paths for your feet in order that the lame shall not have dislocation, but rather they'll be healed. He's not talking about healing of sickness. He's talking about, look, make a straight line. If you're worn out with life and discipline, make straight path for your feet. Take all of this into consideration and let it be a revival to you. That if you're weary, and even to the point of mentally and physically feeling paralyzed over all the things that you have to experience in life, the encouragement comes to lift up those hands that have been hanging down and the knees that have been paralyzed and look to Christ. Receive what life is dishing out as His discipline and be encouraged and be revived. The only thing you can do about it is make straight paths for your feet. That's it. Make sure you're going from point A to point B without getting caught off in all the distractions. That's the encouragement. That life itself in Christ is a life of discipline until we go home to be with Him. Because He's preparing us through that discipline, transforming us and changing us through that discipline to go be with Him throughout eternity. So this life is boot camp. That's all it is. It's not meant to be the end result of all things. How much I have in the bank and what my status is, that has nothing to do with eternity. All of life is a boot camp to prepare me to go be with the Lord throughout eternity. So the Scripture is encouraging me. Submit. Be submissive to God's discipline. And you become weary through it all. Be encouraged. Lift up those hands. Keep going. Keep moving those feet. Don't stop. According to verse 12, he's addressing people who have already become. Notice the perfect participles that are placed in the attributive position. People whose hands have become weary. And the knees that have become paralyzed. It's when we arrive at a point where we say, I just can't go on anymore. That's what he's talking about. I can't go on anymore. It's just too hard. It's just too... Well, I'll tell you what. Get rid of the baggage. You only have the capacity to be occupied with one thing. Just be occupied with Christ. When it comes to life, just do what you have to do. Don't make it complicated. Make a straight path for your feet and look to Christ. You might have to crawl sometimes. You might have to crawl on your stomach sometimes, but keep going. Keep moving. Stay on the path in the right direction. It is an encouragement to those who are weary. And we all become weary at times. So the text in context is not talking about healing. It's talking about the healing of being rejuvenated and revived and with the encouragement and the motivation to move on. Keep looking to Christ. Because by that time, having become weary and having become paralyzed, we've lost our focus. We're back looking at ourselves. We've stopped running because we're just too tired. Goes along with the word persecution. As I've told you before, dioko means to pursue. Satan chases us. tries to make us tired so that we get discouraged and want to quit. God's message is, you get tired and get discouraged and want to quit, keep going. Make that straight path for your feet. Look to Christ. Let Him revive you, encourage you, and bring you back into focus in running the race. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the encouragement. We thank You that we have been reminded that whom You love, You discipline. We thank You that You are our Heavenly Father that cares for our eternal well-being, that we can submit to You and know that we will live and not be abused. But in those times when life does get hard, we're encouraged, even revived by the encouragement of Your Spirit that tells us to keep moving, keep running, to make a straight path, unload some of the baggage, keep looking off unto Jesus, the main focus in life that I'm to be occupied with. Empower us to run the race and continue by Your Spirit to cause us to review the race that we're running, to make sure that we're running on course, that we're running unhindered, the weightiness is gone, the sin that so easily encircles us, and that we will keep on, knowing that You, out of Your faithfulness, will bring us to the end. We pray for the blessing of Your Spirit to make these things real to us and to give us understanding and to help us to view life according to Your Word, so that we will accept and receive all that You do through life to discipline us. We will accept it and receive it, and that we can keep moving on, knowing that You will give us the strength and give us the ministry of Your Spirit to keep going on. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.